from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. Thank God he brought us. Thank God he's going to take us all the way to glory. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Amen. I'm getting my house in order so I can be ready when he comes. He's coming back to receive his own. All right. Get your house in order. He's coming like a thief in the night. You better get your heart right. Yeah. God's so good to us. You better get your house in order. Quit playing. Thank you, Jesus. This is a thought on my mind today as we recognize Back to Church Sunday. And the thought on my mind comes from 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 15. But I have other supporting scriptures that will allow me, hopefully, to clearly express this thought. And the thought is the pillar and ground of truth. Or in some context, it says the pillar and ground of the truth. We're living in a day and time where, for some people, truth is relative. It depends on the situation. It depends on your perspective. We're living in a day and time where a lot of people don't want to acknowledge absolute truth. Because when we acknowledge absolute truth, there's no wiggle room for us to hide. So that's why people want relative truth, because it will oftentimes give them an excuse or a way out for their thinking. It gives them an excuse or a way out for their behavior. Well, it's just relative. No, we have to deal with absolute truth. And God's word is truth. Amen. There's a verse in Psalm 122 and 1. I believe this is one of the writings of David. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So David found refuge, gathering in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord was a place of solace. The house of the Lord was a place where they can gather together with like-minded people and offer up praise and corporate worship to God. So David, in that psalm, beginning of that psalm, he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And the house of the Lord, even though it was instituted initially for Israel, for the people of Israel, God is not willing. The Bible lets us know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God, even in Old Testament time, God had a plan for all humans to come to his house. He had Isaiah write in chapter 2 of Isaiah, and verse number 3, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, and many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So the house of God, or the house of the Lord, people wanted to go to the house of God back in Isaiah's time and back in David's time, because they wanted to go so that they might learn from God his ways, and that after learning from God his ways, they might walk in his path. So one good reason, and just in case you're asking, the reason for back to church Sunday or the reason for coming to the house of God is that you might learn God's law. You might learn God's word. And after learning God's word, then you need to walk in it. We need to walk in the word of God. So now we move to our basic theme scripture, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul is writing to a young minister. He's writing to a young man in his ministry. And he says in verse number 14, although I hope to come to you before long, I am writing these instructions to you so that if I am detained, you may know how people ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and stay, the prop and support of the truth. So the church, the gathering of believers, the church, that word church is ecclesia. That means the called out ones. And God has called us out of darkness. God has called us out of sin. God has called us out of a wicked and evil lifestyle and called us into his marvelous light. He's given us the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and allowed us to hear the gospel. He sent the gospel to us, and then he sent us faith along with the gospel. Then he sent us repentance, and we heard the good news that we don't have to die in our sins. We heard the good news that there is someone who took our place, not only our place, but took the place for all mankind, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. He took our place, and he went to the cross of Calvary, and he paid the ultimate price for the sins, for your sins and my sins, and for sins of all mankind. The good news is that we don't have to pay for our sins. The good news is that we don't have to die in our sins. The good news is that we don't have to stay in the condition that we were born in. All of us were born with a unique birth defect. We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And I'm so glad that because of the finished work of Calvary, because of what Jesus accomplished, he has obtained eternal redemption for us. He has given us an opportunity to have a clean slate because of the shedding of his blood, because the scripture lets us know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And our blood was not qualified to take away our sins. Neither was the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament, but it was the precious, the sinless blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed us. He cleansed us once and for all, and he made it possible for us to enter into this great salvation. I'm so glad that Jesus went to the cross for my sins. I'm so glad that when he was on the cross almost 2,000 years ago, he had you and I on his mind. I'm so glad that he hung there and died according to the scriptures, and they took him and they buried him in the tomb, and on the third day, according to the scriptures, he got up. And when he got up with all power. I'm so glad that he took his sinless blood. He took it up to heaven and he presented it before the mercy seat of God. And he has again returned. He have obtained eternal redemption for us. He has secured our salvation if we put our trust in him, if we give to him obedience, and if we hold fast the profession of our faith. Now, you won't hear this out on the block. You won't hear this on the corner. You won't hear this in the club. You might not even hear this in the swap meet. But thank God that God has instituted a place that we can gather ourselves and encourage ourselves and exhort ourselves and admonish ourselves that we got to live for God until he comes. The church is the place where you can still hear the truth about humankind. You can still hear that unless you repent, you shall die in your sin. They ain't telling you that on the block. Again, they ain't telling you that in the hood. They're telling you do what you want to do, it's your thing, and all this other kind of foolishness. All those are lies. All those is deception. Listen, we're going to have to stand before God one day. So I'm thankful to God that we still have a place that we can gather and disseminate and encourage one another in the truth of God's word. Come back to church. Amen. The church, again, is a living organism. It's not a building, but thank God we do have a building to gather in, but the building does not make the church. The church is the organism of living people who have been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Listen, this is not an organization where you can join in. You got to be born into this. You got to be born of the water and of the Spirit, because Jesus told Nicodemus that unless you born of the water and of the Spirit, you can't even see the kingdom of God. If you can't see it, how you gonna get in it? Listen, so you got to be born into this. Amen? Yes, you do. And see, they ain't telling you that everywhere. Thank God for a building. Thank God for a place of gathering that we can come and encourage one another. So now there may be some that have a frame of mind that what good is it for me to come to church every Sunday? What good is it for me to come on Wednesdays? Those, watch this, those that do come. Amen. What good is it? I've been coming here every week, and what's the benefit? It looks like things are going on out in the world. Look like my homies is getting over like a fat rat in a cheese factory. Look like they're just getting large and everything. Look like everything is working for them and ain't nothing working for me. Look like when I try to do good, it seems like I get shot down and cut down. I might as well just go on with the rest of my homies and do what they doing. They getting money. You know, they got this and they got that. There were some people that thought like that way before we got here. Listen, the Bible lets us know there's nothing new under the sun. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 73. He said in verse number 2, beginning there, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish and arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Now, let's just be real. Sometimes we get a little envious of man, because it seems like every year he getting a new car. But we know he's slinging dope, right? Right? We know he got warrants, but there's something about the bling that catches our eye. Let's just be real with that. So this is what was going on here. He said, "I was envious of the foolish and the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He said, "For they suffer no violent pangs in their death." They don't even die scared. They die, you know, like, the yeah, come on, bring it. You know, that's how they die, right? But their strength is firm. He said, "They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they smitten in plague like other men." Look like everything working for them. And I got envious of that. "Therefore, pride is about their necks like a chain." Oh, they got, you know, they got all kind of chains. I ain't gonna call no names, but they got, some of them got chains in their name. All right. He said, "Violence cover them like a garment, like a long, luxurious robe. Their eyes stand out with fatness." Yeah, they know they got it going on. You know they got a crew and all kind of stuff. Right. "Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish for." They got so much money, they don't know what to do with it. They don't even keep up with it no more. "And the imaginations of their mind and of their minds overflow with follies." They just think about foolishness and crazy stuff. Yeah, yes they do. Yes, they scoff and wickedly utter oppression. They speak loftily from on high, maliciously with blasphemy. You know, even if you try to tell them about Jesus, they say, "Man, I ain't got time for that. I'm out here making money." "They set their mouths," verse 9 says, "they set their mouths against and speak down from heaven, and their tongues swagger through the earth, invading even heaven with blasphemy and smearing earth with slanders." They got all kind of stuff coming out their mouth. Verse 10, "Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup offered by the wicked are blindly drained by them. And they say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High?" So they even questioning God. Ain't nothing to that. Y'all just dealing with some white man's religion. Da, 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 da. The stuff that they tell you. "Behold, these are the ungodly who always prosper and are at ease in the world. They increase in riches." Now, that would be enough to make somebody maybe think twice about living for God, huh? Oh, y'all ain't gonna say nothing? All right. All right, but some of y'all thinking twice right now. Then he goes on and says in verse 13, surely then in vain I have cleansed my heart and washed my hands in innocency. So I stopped doing these things and I tried to live for God, but he said it was in vain. Verse 14, for all the day long have I been smitten and plagued and chastened every morning. I can't catch a break no kind of way. Then he said in 15, had I spoken thus and given expression to my feelings, I would have been untrue and have dealt treacherously against the generation of your children. Verse 16 says, but when I considered how to understand this, it was too great an effort for me and too painful. I couldn't figure this out to save my life. How they just getting over until 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood, for I considered therein. After all, you do set the wicked in slippery places. You cast them down to ruin and destruction. So the psalmist was saying, yeah, I almost got caught up with what was going on. I almost got caught up with how they was making money and how they was getting over it and how they had all the bling and seemed like there was nothing. They were big and bad to do. They did everything. But then when I went to church, then when I went into the sanctuary, then I found out that God had set them in some slippery places. God has set them in some places, and their downfall is yet coming. If they don't repent, if they don't change their life, if they don't seize the opportunity to receive salvation that we have received, they're going down. They're going down because they're in slippery places and they're going to be destroyed. But see, I wouldn't have found that out until I went into the church. So we need to make sure that we come to the house of God so that we don't get sidetracked by what's going on around us, because there's a whole lot of stuff that's going on around us that might catch our eye and say, well, if he can get over like this, then maybe I can get over like that. Listen, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lose his soul? What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? See, this is why we got to come to the house of God. This is why we have to come to gatherings like this, so we can see and understand that God has a plan for the wicked and God has a plan for the just. And you want to be in the plan that God has for the just. There was a time back in Isaiah again, God has a desire for everybody to be saved. Everybody. So he talked in Isaiah about the foreigners who would come to the Lord. I'm so glad that God had us as non-Jews, as Gentiles in his mind way in the beginning of everything. In Isaiah chapter number 56, Isaiah 56 and 6, he says, also the foreigners who joined themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath so as not to profane it, and who holds fast my covenant by conscientious observance. See, we have to have a mind and a heart that we're going to do what God wants us to do. We have to have a mind and a heart that even in this wicked and perverse generation, we're going to continue to come to the house of God. Yes, we have electronic this and electronic that, and thank God for live stream. Amen. But if you got, here's what I say. If you can make it to the house of God, get yourself up and come to the house of God. There's something that you gain. There's something that we gain about communing with one another. There's a koinonia. There's a fellowship. When we know that my brother or my sister is here and we're encouraging one another, we're going through some of the same tests and we're going through some of the same trials, house, but we still receive strength from one another. And when we get together and we start praising God, when we get together and we forget all of our cares just for a moment and leave our cares on the outside, and we come in here with one mind, we come in here with one accord to lift up the name of our Lord, we come in here to glorify God. I hear the Bible said in one place that God dwells in the midst of praises. That means when we come together with one accord, all distractions out of our mind, and we come to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we come to worship him. You know what God does? He sits down, he enthrones himself on the praises of his people. And then when God comes and he sits in our midst, that's when the blessings come. That's when you get your strength. You know, it's something about just being in the very presence of God corporately that we receive strength from God. When we see our brothers and our sisters praising God, no matter what they're going through, and some of us know what we're going through and some of us don't know, but we receive strength when we see brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so still yet praising God. We encourage one another. Then we can pray for one another. God has determined way back in the Old Testament that his house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Thank God we can come together corporately throughout the week, and we should come together to pray for one another, to pray with one another. Listen, but the very primary cause and the primary purpose for the church of God may not be what you think it is. In 2017, yes, we give away food and thank God for that. Yes, we give away clothes and thank God for that. Yes, we help people and yes, we do certain things. But the primary and ultimate reason for the church of God is to promote the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Those other things are just side benefits, if you will. Listen, but it is our responsibility as the church of the living God to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we fed 1,000 people and didn't tell anybody about the goodness of God, then all we did was made some bellies full. But what we're trying to do as the church of the living God is to save somebody's soul. We're trying to help somebody escape the wrath of God that is to come. So don't get it twisted. Don't think that you can put your money in any church and they owe you this or they owe you that. Listen, you give it to God as unto God and not unto men. Then it'll be received, and God knows how to bless us better than any human being. But the primary purpose of the church of the living God, he told them, this is what Jesus said. He said, go and make disciples. He said, go and make disciples. So the primary purpose of the church of God is an increase in disciples. We got to take the message that Jesus still saves in 2017. He still saves no matter all the fancy luxuries that we got. Thank God for it. But the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like it was on the day of Pentecost, it still needs to be declared today that this Jesus whom they crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. And the word of God declares that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, we ought to activate ourselves and understand that we are on active duty. We are a mighty army of God, and we need to declare the glory of God. We need to declare that Jesus still saves. There's too many people dying in sin around us, and we fold in our arms and we're looking at them cross-eyed. Take the message of the gospel to them. Knock on their door and tell them that Jesus saves, and bring them to a house. It don't necessarily have to be this house, but bring them to a house where the Spirit of God is. Bring them to a place where they can receive sound teaching, sound doctrine, line upon line, precept upon precept. Bring them to a place where they can grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what church is all about. The gospel must be declared. Jesus the Christ went to the cross of Calvary. He paid the price for all of our sins. It ain't about a social club. It ain't about this, and it ain't about that. Thank God for the subsidiary programs that we have in the church, but don't lose focus on the main thing. What good would it do for you to play games here and play games there and your soul be lost? We need to have people to come with a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Listen, you ain't doing us no big favors coming to any church every week. Listen, God is looking for somebody that loves him, that will love him enough to obey him, that will love him enough to turn their back on their sinful lifestyle. And I'm here to declare to you, if you're not born again, you are still in your sins. You are still in your transgressions. I'm not about to pat you on your back and tell you just do the best you can. No, absolutely not. I come to tell you the same thing that Jesus told Nicodemus. Marvel not. Don't you wonder at it. Don't you scratch your head. But marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be born again. Ain't no loopholes in God's word. You won't get to heaven on a technicality. You gotta be born again of the water and of the spirit. That's the message that every child of God should be echoing in these last days. We ought to bring as many people as we can, not just this Sunday, but every Sunday. You ought to bring somebody. Don't you know somebody that needs salvation? Oh, yes, you do, and you ain't got to go far. Some of us can look in our own houses. Glory, I ain't got to spend a drop of gas. Hallelujah, we can look in our own houses and see our loved ones who have yet to make up their mind for Christ. I declare unto you by the word and the power of God, God's coming back soon. You hear what? God is coming back soon. We need to be ready to go. We ain't got time to play with you and to play and to pat on your emotions. I hear God said, save yourself from this untoward generation. The whole generation is against God. The whole human nature is against God. The devil is against God. But guess what? He already lost. He is a defeated foe, and he's trying to muzzle and muffle the message, and he got some of us bluffed. He got some of us cowed down. I don't know what to say. Tell them what God has done for you. Tell them the type of sinner that you was and how God delivered you. If you've really been delivered, I hear the word said somewhere, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom God has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Anybody in here been redeemed? All right, well, when the last time you said so? Glory, hallelujah. I saw a whole lot of hands go up, but tell me when the last time you said so? When the last time you told somebody what you've experienced in the redemption and the salvation of Jesus Christ? You got to tell somebody. We can't hold this message to you. Ain't got to be no license this or no license that. The Holy Ghost has already given you license. Your new birth experience has given you license enough. Just like in Jesus' time, when that woman at the well, just had a conversation. She hadn't even been baptized yet, but all she did was have a conversation with Jesus, and boom, she left her water pot right there at the well and came a one-person outreach movement. She went and told her whole town. She went and told everybody in the hood, come see a man that done told me everything I ever did. Listen, God has done some great things for us. He first great thing is salvation. And even after we've been saved, he's done mighty things for us. But when the last time you told somebody in your town, in your hood, on your block, in your class, in your cubicle, wherever your circle of influence is, we need to take the message that Jesus saves. People are looking for something, and sadly, sometimes they don't even know what they're looking for. Some people, you ever hear people say, I know there's got to be something better than this. That's a door of opening. But the next time your coworker tells you, I know there got to be something better than this, tell them, honey or brother, whatever your vernacular is, I'm glad you said that. I got something better. I want to tell you about Jesus, how Jesus saves, how Jesus delivers, how Jesus can take you from the gutter and place you among the princes of his people. I want to tell you that there's a glorious gospel that has been declared and demonstrated to all mankind. God so loved. Take them to the verse that they might know, just from memory. God so loved the world. What do you mean so loved? He loved us so much that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. We weren't even thinking about God. We were dissing God. Didn't want nothing to do with God. But Jesus still went to the cross. That's the message for the church to take to this dying world. Just imagine yourself. Just imagine, if you will. Allow me to use my illustrative mind. Just imagine if you went back to your block right now, and everybody on your block was outside their house, dead, and you have to walk over dead bodies and dead bodies and dead bodies and dead bodies of people you wave at in the morning, people you wave at as you're backing out of your driveway, but they all dead when you go home this afternoon. And then you ask yourself, why they did? Because they didn't get an opportunity to receive eternal life, because they were waiting on your witness. And the end of time came, and their soul was eternally lost. How would you feel knowing that you could have helped somebody to receive salvation just by a word, just by an encouragement? But here you got to walk over these dead bodies. Now just imagine, if you will, there are going to be many people in hell. Yes, they will. And I don't want them to go because of my negligence. Glory. Hallelujah. I think y'all just helped me. I think it would skew my rejoicing in heaven. I think it might. Just deal with me now. If I knew there was somebody that I could have helped. See, when you know that you've done all that God asked you to do, you can really rejoice with reckless abandon. But when you know that you missed some things, you might throw your hands up in the midst of a congregation, but you know deep down inside, I kind of blew it. I didn't tell them when I had the opportunity. I didn't know how they was going to receive it. Listen, that's a soul that we're dealing with. We got to tell them that Jesus loves them. This is a place where people can come and find out about the love of God. They need to come and see the love of God demonstrated, flowing from heart to heart and breast to breast. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. The church is the pillar, the mainstay, and the foundation for the word of God. The church should support everything that God said. The church, we, not the building, we should support and promote everything everything that God has said in his word. And we must promote it not only with our mouths. We got to promote it with the way that we live. Because when we leave here, everybody's looking. Everybody's looking at how we live. Everybody's looking of how we deal with certain situations that life brings to all of us. Everybody's looking with how we deal with disappointments. Everybody's looking with how we deal with adversity. Everybody's looking with how we deal with one another. Is there prejudices? There shouldn't be. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Oh, for all people? You mean even people who don't look like us? You mean even people who worship style may be a little different than us? Huh? Maybe people who sing with acoustics and acoustic guitars and no bass or whatever. Maybe people who sing different praise melodies than us. Are we going to shun them? He said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all people. Something I heard long ago, and I believe it's true, cross-cultural outreach has to be intentional. Because we are people of habit. We tend to want to go to people who look like us. We can identify, you know, me and my brother, we got things in common. Both of us ain't got no hair on our head, huh? And both of us got a little weight on us, both of us. You see, so it's easier for me to come to him, right? But just as easy as it is for me to come to my brother, it should be easy for me to come to my brother over here. It should be that easy. You see what I'm saying? It should be that easy. So that means we're the ones who should be led by the Spirit, right? And if we're led by the Spirit, we won't obey the deeds of the flesh. Because the flesh says, stay with your own. Huh? But Jesus died for everybody. Well, and now, if we really believe that, then we'll go to everybody. Huh? We'll go to everybody. So the next time you have an opportunity to sit, give me a little space here, please, with somebody that you don't normally sit with, sit on down and fellowship. You can bless your brother and you can receive a blessing from your brother. But if you don't never the venture to do that, see, the church is supposed to be an example to the world. Huh? So if people see us getting along in church, right? And then we take it outside of the buildings, then we are a true demonstration to the world that, wait a minute, this is not a black church. This is not a black church. Who gives that designation? How are we going to let somebody define us? We're the church of the living God. Huh? I'm stepping on toes. That's all right. What's that medicine you put on your toes? I don't know, but get some Dr. Scholl's or something. Put on them toes, put some talcum powder on them, but I got to step on them. Because he said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all people. Right? So if all people ain't in the house, we got a problem. If everybody in the church look like me, there's a problem. Look at the neighborhood that this physical building is in. We got our Hispanic brothers and sisters and our Asian brothers and sisters. So we should have a representation. We don't want them. You ain't died for them. Jesus died for them. And he died for you too, you rascal. That's what you're acting like. So I'll call you a rascal. And when you get back on your right frame of mind, it's okay. Huh? But see, we won't hear that unless we come to the pillar and ground of truth. Of course, the world is saying black against white, white against black, everybody against the Latinos. See, the world got it all jacked up. So the world needs an example of what God requires. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, whosoever will, let him come. So that's why we need to come back to church and bring somebody to church. And if you can, bring somebody who don't look like you. Glory. Hallelujah. Huh? Bring somebody who don't eat the same food that. Bring somebody who's hungry for salvation. Bring somebody who wants a change in their life. Bring somebody who wants an answer. We have the answer, and his name is Jesus. But they gotta listen, they won't come with you unless they see Christ in you. But the church is the pillar and ground of truth. We have to defend the truth. We have to promote the truth. We have to speak the truth. And we definitely have to live the truth. I'll stop. We got to live this thing, y'all. We just can't hear it and receive it for a moment. And then, I don't know what he was saying. I'm going with the homies. Come on, we got to live this thing. Cross the street. Cross the hoods. Okay, cross the neighborhoods. Whatever you got to do to cross, huh? Party lines, social lines, cultural lines. We need to do it. Do you think we need to do it? Yes. People need to hear the truth. They need to hear the fact that Jesus loved them so much that he went to the cross. He already paid in advance for their sins, but they have to take advantage of the payment that was offered. They have to take advantage. Let me read this last scripture, Hebrews 10. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to his word. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. You see that? Studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. That's what we should be doing. Then, verse 25, in conjunction and in connection with doing that, I'm in Hebrews 10, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some. Some people in this room, you're in that habit. You have forsaken and you are neglecting the assembling together as believers. But admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. You need to ask somebody, do you come to Bible study? Let me turn around while y'all do that. Do you come to Bible study? Ask somebody on your row, do you come to Bible study? Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. All right. All right. Ask them, how often do you come? Go ahead. Go ahead. Now, I'm looking this time. Ask them, how often do you come? All right. All right. And if their answer was not in a positive, ask them one more question. Why not? Real quiet. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Now, some have legitimate reasons because they can't come. But everybody who's not here on Wednesday doesn't have a legitimate reason not to be here. The pillar and ground of truth. We got to deal with the fact that some of us are negating this scripture in our own life. We neglect and we forsake the assembly. I ain't going. I was there Sunday. I don't like the format. I don't like the format. Why don't you like the format? It's Bible study. Huh? We give you a book so you can study and be prepared for the lesson so you can participate. Could the problem be we don't like to? Ooh, all right. Huh? The pillar and ground of truth. We got to deal with this. So I'm expecting to see an influx of people here on Wednesday night. The pillar and ground of truth. And don't come up with a flimsy excuse. There are valid excuses, and there are excuses that are flimsy. So leave the flimsy and be here. We're in the book of Hebrews. We still got books available. Only $10. I guess I should sign off, huh? The pillar and ground of truth. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to entice you. I'm trying to admonish you not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. As the habit of some is. Don't fall into that habit. We're the Apostolic Faith Home Assembly Church located in Los Angeles, California. We thank you for tuning in this morning for our weekly service. There's a number on your screen. There should be a number on your screen. Call that number for the next 15 minutes. We'll have prayer counselors standing by to take your prayer requests. If we live, and the Lord will, we'll see you who are not here locally. We'll see you on live stream for our 7 p.m. Wednesday broadcast. God bless you in Jesus' name. Now, those of you who are in the sanctuary, we need to see you here, not live stream. We need to see you. We need to see you. We need to see you. We need to see you here. Amen? All right. Anybody want to be saved today? Anybody want to repent of their sins and take advantage of this glorious gospel? The message of the church is still that Jesus saves. Anybody? You're ready. You're through. You're tired of living the lifestyle that God is not pleased with. You want to receive this salvation that was purchased by Jesus.